week. Those and whoever do the bulletin, I'll plan on doing a children's message next week. So whoever just plan on putting that back in there, and I'll plan on doing that next week and prepare for that. When I pastored a small church in North Florida, I used to love doing that children's message, and I don't get that opportunity like I used to, so I'll just look forward to next week. If y'all don't mind, I'll do that. Well, since I'm going to be with you today and tonight and next week, I thought I'd just take just a second and just a little bit about myself. First of all, I was born in Tampa and raised pretty much in Plant City, and met my beautiful wife, Wanda, there in Plant City. We worked together a little, actually in the Notasassa area, worked in a little grocery store together, and been married for a little over 42 years. And the Lord has blessed us in so many ways. And I just recently, I say recently, about 2 years ago, retired after 25 plus years with Florida Baptist Children's Home. And through that time, just the Lord has really blessed us in so many ways. And one of the great ways He's blessed us, we only have one child, a daughter and son-in-law, and our four grandchildren live right in front of us. And so we get to see the grandchildren every day. And so God has blessed us. But when I look back, one of the things that's in the bulletin that says that I love to do is I love to fish. I also love to ride motorcycles. My wife and I both ride motorcycles. She's on her third motorcycle already and wanting another one. But I'm telling her, no. But tonight, I'm going to tell you about one of the worst motorcycle crashes I've ever seen up in the mountains. Okay? So I want you to come back tonight, and I want to share that story with you tonight. Another little story about in my past, whenever I served a little church as associate pastor in Cottonwood, Alabama, I was going to school in Graceville. Then it was called Baptist Bible Institute. Now it's the Baptist College of Florida. Great, one of the best Southern Baptist Bible colleges in the nation. Well, I was going to school there. We needed a little extra income, so I took on the job for a full-time police officer, Cottonwood, Alabama. If you've ever been to Cottonwood, you kind of understand it's kind of like Mayberry in that sense. The difference was with our police department, we had three officers instead of just two. And I had six bullets, and I didn't have to carry mine in my pocket, so I was a little different than Barney. But you know, as a police officer, I got to thinking, when I see our police officers today, anybody in law enforcement, you know, state troopers, county sheriffs, whatever role they play, I have so much respect and appreciation for them, as I know you do as well. Unfortunately, in today's news, sometimes they don't get that respect. But I have so much respect, and I got to thinking, when I was a police officer, what was important to me? They gave me a lot of equipment. I had to supply some of my own, but some of those things, what was really the most important thing that I had as a police officer? And I got to thinking about that. Yeah, that was vital. You know, I had a gun. He's right. I had a gun I carried. I also had a shotgun in the car. And I got thinking about the car. Well, that was important so I could get around town and check on things. You know, and the radio. Wow. If I needed backup during the night or whatever, I had to call the Houston County Sheriff's Department there out of Dothan to come in for backup. That was vital. That was important. But you know, really, when I think about it, one of the most important things that I had was my badge. Because my badge identified as to who I was. It gave me an identity as a Cottonwood police officer. It also gave me and represented the authority that I had as a police officer. So that badge was important. All of those things were important. The reason I share that with you, I want you to think about your faith this morning. How's your faith? What are all the things involved in your faith? What's important to you when you think about your faith? There's a lot of characteristics of our faith, and a lot of things are important. I want us to turn to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Actually, tonight, we're also going to be talking about faith. Tonight, we're going to look at a passage and see what Peter has to say about faith, but this morning, we're going to look in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and see what Paul has to say. In Ephesians, the sixth chapter, here. Paul, all through the book of Ephesians, as you've probably read in the past, you know that he's addressing that church at Ephesus, those believers, and he's telling them a lot of things about, you know, a lot of theological things, things that they need to know about, such as grace, how they're to walk, how they're to live their Christian life. And then he gets to the sixth chapter, and I want to read those, I'm going to read all from verse 10 all the way down to verse 20. If you're capable, I'm going to ask you to stand this morning in honor of reading God's Word. If you're not, please be seated. But if you're capable just to stand and reading of honor of God's Word, I'm going to start with verse 10. And Paul, when you read that very first word, he says, "Finally, my brethren." He's kind of summing everything up that he's been sharing, what he's been teaching the people there at Ephesus. So follow with me as I read, starting with verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this message, Lord. There's so many pieces of this message, Lord, that we could just share and we could talk about and share with each other, Lord, but we're just thankful, Lord, that the one area that we want to look at this morning is truly from your word and it's your message. So open our hearts and our minds this morning, Lord, for each and every one of us, Lord, so that not only do we hear your message, Lord, but we put your message into practice. Thank you again, Lord, for the people that are gathered here today to worship you. Thank you for this opportunity to worship. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Well, as way of kind of an introduction as we get into this, very familiar passage. I'm sure you probably studied it. You probably heard many, many, many sermons on all various aspects of this passage that Paul has here, that he's kind of summing up to the church there at Ephesus. You know, there's some key things that we can pull out from the very beginning. Look at verse 10. He says, "Finally, my brethren," he says, "be strong." That's a message for us today. If there's been ever a time in my life when I look back for a time for Christians to stand up and to be strong, it's today. When we see what's happening, just listening and or watching TV and seeing what's happening not only in our community but in our state or in our nation but around the world, we need to be strong. And he tells us how to be strong in the power of his might. He doesn't expect us to be strong all by ourselves, but he says in the power of his might. That saving grace when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, that's the power of his might that we can be strong in. Verse 11, he says, to put on this whole armor of God. You know, he doesn't say in this passage, he says, folks, he doesn't say, you know, every morning when you get up, I'm going to dress you in this armor. He tells us we're to do it. It takes effort to put on this whole armor of God. And he says to put on the whole armor, not just a piece of it, just a piece here and a piece there, but the whole armor of God, so that we can be prepared. And then in verse, I think it's verse 11 and 14 and a couple other places, The reason he wants us to be prepared is so that we can stand. So that we can stand. You know, recently, the Supreme Court has made some rulings that most Christian believers don't believe is correct. As an example, same-sex marriage. They ruled it to be constitutional. As Christians, we can't accept same-sex marriage. It goes against the teaching of God's Word. The very institution of marriage is a man and a woman. And the reason I believe that's been accepted around the nation and other nations the way it is because you and I, as God's servants, as His servants, we have not stood. We've not taken a stand. If we had come together as churches around this nation and took a stand on this one issue, I believe it would have made a difference. Paul saying here, we need to be prepared, and one of the reasons we put on this whole armor is so that we can stand. You know, another area we think about, that's when I think of people that are going to really have to stand in the near future is our pastors. Your new pastor, when you call him, at some point he's going to probably be asked to maybe to do a same-sex marriage wedding. And he's going to have to take that stand and say, no, I can't do that. I don't believe that's right. I think of school teachers. Some of you may be a school teacher. You're probably going to have, or probably have already taken a stand where you're going to have to say, no, I can't teach that because I don't believe that. I believe it goes against God's Word. So, to take that kind of stand, we have to be prepared and we have to put on this whole armor of God. Because Paul says there in verse 12, he says, who do we wrestle against? Who do we battle against? But we wrestle against Satan himself. You know, we don't hear enough from God's Word from the pulpit today about who we wrestle, who we battle, who we face. Satan and his demons. We wrestle against them. So we need to be prepared. And he tells us here the things that we're to put on truth, righteousness, gospel, and salvation, and have the Word of God. But here's where I want to zero in and spend the rest of our time this morning. In verse 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. There's some characteristics, some basic things about faith that Paul says here that I think that we can learn from. The first thing we see here is we need to know the place or the position of faith in our lives. Look what Paul says starting out there in that verse. He says, above all. First Baptist Church of Plant City, where my wife and I are members, we have a men's Bible study on Wednesday night led by our pastor. And usually before the pastor gets up and does a Bible study, they'll do a testimony, what they call a tip and technique, where somebody will get up and take about 5 or 10 minutes and share about their hobby or something they'd really love to do, teaching the rest of us about that. And then they'll give their testimony. Well, about 8 and maybe 9 months ago, David, an elderly man in our church, got up and he gave a tip about fishing. David loved to bass fish. Now, he's close to 80 years old, so he can't get in a boat like he used to because of his health, so he doesn't get to go fishing like he used to. But he talked about, prior to his health going down, one of the things the last probably 5 or 6 years of his fishing, he learned about a little lure called a buzzing grub. Now, the company, they don't make them anymore. I was able to buy a few more before they still had them in stock. But a little fishing lure called a buzzing grub like this. And David would say that when he'd go to all the lakes around Polk County, Hillsborough, Lake Kissimmee, all those kind of places or whatever, the premier lure that he would use was called that buzzing grub. In fact, he used the terminology, he says, above all the things in that tackle box was that buzzing grub. In many ways, I think what Paul is saying here, he says, with all these things that I've mentioned here that we're to put on, all these things that prepares us to face Satan, to prepare us to take a stand, is our faith. Think about that. He says, above all, put on faith. Think about our faith. First of all, it's how we receive God. It's how we have a relationship with Him. So certainly, it's above all these other things. I mean, just a couple of passages, a couple of chapters over in verse 2 of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's above all, through faith. He says, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So it's above all. It's not only how we receive God, but once we have a relationship with Him, our faith is how we receive the things we need. In Mark, the 11th chapter, verses 22 through 24. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. He starts that whole passage out by saying, have faith in God. So we can see why Paul would say, above all these things. So we can see how critical the position or the place have faith has in our Christian life. You know, and without faith, in putting our trust and faith in Jesus Christ, we don't have these other things listed. We don't have that salvation, the truth, the righteousness, the gospel, even his word. Faith is critical, and that position is so important. But not only do we need to know its position, we need to know its purpose. What is one of the purposes of faith? Paul says right here, he says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Why did Paul, you think, use that terminology and say it's a shield? Taking the shield of faith. Well, first of all, he knew that when he was writing to the church at Ephesus, those people would understand a soldier and how a soldier, especially the Roman soldiers, they would all carry a shield. They would understand the purpose of that shield. Now, they would usually carry one of two shields, a small round one that would be used for more offensive when they'd go into battle. But most all the time, they carried a large shield, something that would protect their whole body. And so they, when they go into the battle, they would have that shield. And Paul knew that those readers, this letter, would understand how a shield protects you. So he's saying that our faith provides that protection of God that we have. Provides protection. You know, the other thing about that shield, those Roman soldiers, when they go into battle, they never go out there by themselves, naturally. They were never alone. And so they would use that shield together. And the way they did, you may have seen pictures, some movie or something on TV or whatever, some battle scene or whatever recreated in the movies or whatever. And they'd go into battle, and many times they would get together and they would link those shields side by side, sometimes even one over the other, so that it kind of created a whole wall that would protect them from all the arrows and the spears and things that would be sent their way. You know, I think that's another illustration. You and I, Paul says that we're to stand, we don't have to stand alone. Praise the Lord. But we can stand together, and we can put our shields of faith together, and we can face anything. So we've got to know its purpose. You know, there's another thing about the shield. A soldier always had his shield. Be foolish to kind of go into battle and leave that shield at home, wouldn't it? It's kind of foolish to go out and try to take a stand against Satan out in the world and leave our faith at home, isn't it? We always have it with us. Proverbs 35 has become one of my favorite verses. I love it. Every word of God is pure. says a lot just in that first part of that verse. Every word of God is pure. Being pure means every word of God is true. Everything that Paul is saying to us is true. It's pure. But then the last part of that says, he is a shield to those who put their trust in him. The writer in Proverbs saying, God is a shield to those of us who put our faith and trust in him. So, primary purpose of our faith is a shield. It's protection of God. Another thing, though, about faith, third thing, we need to know that it must be practiced. Our faith must be practiced. What does Paul say there? He starts out in verse 16. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all, taking. Again, it's requiring an effort on our part to take that shield. It's not enough just to say, hey, I got faith. But we're to put it into practice. You know, James 2:17, another familiar passage, says, faith without works is what? Dead. It's useless. A faith that's not put into practice doesn't serve anybody. Kind of reminds me, my dad was a carpenter and mechanic and taught me so many things about using my hands. And I love to work out in my shop and work with my hands and do those kind of things. And so several years ago, I thought I needed a lathe. A lathe is something that you can put metal in and you can make all kinds of things out of it. Metal things for engine parts and brackets, all kinds of things. And I really thought I needed a lathe because my daddy used to have one. So I bought me a nice lathe, bought all the books, learned how to use that lathe. And for about a day or two I used it, and then it just sat there collecting dust. And then it began to rust. For several years I never touched that lathe. But you know what? I owned it. It was mine. I possessed it, but it was useless. It was worthless in that state. You know, our faith, I believe, unless we practice our faith, it becomes that same way. Covered with dust, covered with rust. Useless to us, and most importantly, useless in some ways to even Christ, who we're supposed to be serving. So we need to know it must be practiced. Fourth thing about our faith that it says here, we've got to know its power. We've got to understand its power. You know, I shared with some of you earlier as I was coming in that my wife and I, four and a half years ago, we bought 4 acres of land in Lithia, right on County Line Road South. Now, this is down south of Highway 60. And land was just, it had been used as an old nursery part of it, so it needed a lot of work. And I had a tractor, a 40-something-year-old garden tractor that my daddy had owned, and he gave it to me, and it was a Power King or an economy tractor. And I thought, man, I can't do anything with that. And so, like everybody else out there, I went and bought me a really nice 3-cylinder diesel big tractor. Bought all the implements. And I got out there and I used it all around the property and everything. And then one day, I was out there tinkering with my daddy's tractor, just keeping it running. And I got on it and I realized, and I started using it and I put the blade on it and different things. And I realized this thing does everything that big one does. I never realized how much power that little old garden tractor had. So I sold the big one and I keep my daddy's running. I didn't realize its power. Sometimes I think we fail to realize the power that we have through our faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, we need to know its power. What does Paul say here? There again in that one verse, above all, taking the shield of faith, which he says, you will be able. He doesn't say the deacons will be able, the pastor will be able. He's speaking to every one of us. You will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That's the power we have. That goes back up to the very first verses that we read when he says, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. We can stand. Those pastors around the nation, school teachers, all of us, law enforcement officers, we can stand against Satan in our service to Christ because of the power that comes through our faith. You know, a favorite verse that a lot of people have is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Well, what are some of those things that we can do because of the strength that we have through Christ? What are some of those things? You know, we have some great examples on our news recently. Think about those Christians. Think about the Islamic extremists and the pictures we've seen where these extremists take those men. In fact, one of the recent ones was there's 21 men in those orange jumpsuits. They're on an edge of a beach somewhere. And because they refuse to denounce Christ as their Savior, and because they refuse to accept Allah as God, they were beheaded. How is somebody able to take that kind of stand? Think of the city of Mosul there in Iraq. For thousands of years, that city was primarily Christians. They don't believe there's one Christian left in the whole city of Mosul. Most of them have been killed or they fled. But they refused to denounce Christ. That's why those people are able to stand. And the reason they're able to stand is because of their faith in Christ. You know, I think of a good friend of mine. He just turned 60. 2 years ago, he was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and he's getting to those last stages. But anytime you talk to him or you see him, all he wants to do is talk about Christ and his love for Christ and serving Christ. How is a person able to take that kind of stand, and how is a person able to get through that kind of situation? Even his spouse, knowing that her husband will soon pass away. How do you get through that kind of circumstances? Because we know we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. You know, one of the things a lot of people don't do, in fact, I imagine there's probably some in this congregation here this morning who have known Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, maybe for a short period of time, but there's some that's never shared their faith with another person. In other words, they've never witnessed to another person. Because of fear and anxiety, fear of rejection, fear of all those kind of things. Well, we can witness and we can share our faith because Christ strengthens us. So we need to know the power of our faith. The last thing, though, just like that power came, once I learned that it had the power, there was all kinds of possibilities, things that I've done with that tractor since then, once I learned the possibilities. Once we understand that we have the power because of our faith, there's so many possibilities. So we need to know its possibilities. Look what Paul says there. He says, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. To quench all the fiery darts. What an illustration using the fiery darts. Think about that. Satan knows where you're vulnerable. He knows where I'm vulnerable. He knows how to attack us when we least expect it. One of the things, knowing about the power, having the power of our faith, we can quench all of those darts when he attacks us. That's what Paul's telling us. We don't have to fall prey to Satan and those fiery darts. He used the idea of the fiery darts because darts back then, you got to think about what they did in battle with those darts fired from crossbows. First of all, they were extremely accurate. Again, Satan knows how to attack us. He knows how to attack the church. They're extremely accurate. They're fearful. Think about it. They were fiery. That fire coming towards you. Not only would they cause death just by hitting you, but that fire that would be around them. So he's painting a picture here. One of the possibilities of that power that we have of our faith is that we can stand up to the fiery darts. You know, as I count, have I counseled and I've talked with people, especially people with addictions, you know, that's one of the things. They're so vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. But they're able to stand up and quench those fiery darts because of their faith. Want to know its possibilities of faith? There's a passage from John. 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Boy, that speaks of the possibilities of the power of our faith in Christ, doesn't it? You read that again. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith, we need to think of it as above all the things that we have about our salvation. About our relationship with Christ, we need to think of our faith as above all. Tonight, I'm going to take, and we're going to look at Peter, and we're going to talk about, okay, we have this faith, we understand it. What's next? We're going to look at that tonight. But as I close out this morning, I want to share with you a story. It comes from Mark, 2nd chapter, very familiar passage or story. And I remember even in Sunday school, in Indian Town, Florida, where our family lived when I was a little boy, I can remember seeing pictures on the wall that depicted this scene. Jesus had been teaching around Capernaum, and he goes into Simon Peter's house, and large crowds have been following Jesus, and these crowds follow him in all the way into his house. And he's there, and he's teaching. People are in the windowsills. People are just crowded about, large crowd. Well, also at this same time, there was 4 unnamed men who had a friend who was sick of the palsy. Y'all know the story. These 4 men knew what Jesus could do. They had faith. They understood the power. They understood the possibilities and all of those things. And they wanted to get their friend to Jesus because they knew what Jesus could do for their friend. So they go to Simon Peter's house. They get there. They're carrying their friend on a stretcher. They can't get inside because of all the people. So what do? That's right. They go up on the roof. They get up on that roof, risking prison, risking all kinds of things. They were risking their own death, risk of their friend's death, if they were to drop him or whatever. But they knew what Jesus could do for their friend. So they break up that roof, and they lower their friend down. I've got several messages on that one passage, that one story. But the reason I want to share this with you is because what Jesus said, I believe it's in verse 5, chapter 2. It says there, when Jesus saw their faith, he healed their friend. When Jesus saw their faith. So here's a question I have for you this morning. When was the last time, actually several questions. When was the last time your neighbors saw your faith? When's the last time a co-worker or a family member saw your faith? And can you answer, when was the last time Jesus saw your faith? Just like these 4 men, what Jesus saw was these 4 men practicing their faith, putting their faith into action. We need to understand our faith that we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But you know, I realize when I share that this morning, there may be somebody here this morning. They've heard about Jesus, but they've never really known Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If that's the truth, if that's the case, somebody here, all you have to do is so simple. Paul in Romans addressed this so clearly for us. First of all, we have to know that we're a sinner. We have to admit that we have sin in our lives, and we have to be willing to turn from that sin, confess that sin, and ask Jesus Christ to forgive us of that sin. We have to believe in our heart that he died on the cross just for us, just for you, just for me. And not only did he die, but he was buried, and he arose, and he's alive today, and if we call upon his name, we can be saved. If you're here this morning, and that's your circumstance, we're going to stand, and we're going to have an invitation. For whatever reason, maybe you want to just come to the altar and pray for yourself or pray for others, whatever the case may be, this altar is open for whatever need. I'll be up here, and one of your deacons will be up here standing with me. So whatever reason, let's stand now for our invitation. And what's the hymn? 320, turn your eye upon Jesus.
There's a light, Lord, a look at the sea.